The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Jesus speaks frankly about the fearsome costs of discipleship. Those who follow him should know from the outset that completing the course of discipleship will finally mean renouncing all other allegiances. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. If the children could come forward for the children's sermon. Kids, I need your help this morning. I want to visit a little town in southern Texas, and I haven't yet found how to get there from here. If I had a road map of Texas, who thinks they could help me use it? Well, I'm not very good with maps either. So the place I'd like to go is called Yorktown, and I know it's located down the southern part of our state, not far from Kennedy. Does anyone know where Yorktown is in our state? Is it pretty far south? Pretty far south? Well, I didn't know either last week, so pretty difficult place to find. So what we do is we go through Runge. There's a town called Runge about 5 miles east of here, which I eventually found on my way down here last week. And then we go through Nordheim for about 10 miles, and you're there. So do you know what happens when you're going from one town to another when it's a smaller town? Are there many roads that you can use to get to this town, do you think? There are many roads. How about when you get closer to your house, for example, when you're driving?
When you get to your house, you just go inside and say, "Hey, I'm inside."
That's true. So when you're going down a road to your house, is there usually one certain road that you tend to take? No, you take a couple roads. What about when you're going up to your driveway? When you go up to your driveway, are there any other driveways that can take you to your house? There's just one, right? Mm-hmm. There's just one. And what's special about that driveway is that it's your driveway, right? There aren't any other driveways. There's just that one, isn't there? Just that one driveway? So if you want to get to your house, you've got to take that driveway, right? Mm-hmm. There's just no other way to get there. The Bible says that if we want to follow Jesus, there's only one way to do it. In fact, Jesus himself says what the way is in Luke 14, verse 27. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You remember Jesus carried his cross, right? Right, so we need to carry our crosses too. Do you know what that means, that we need to carry our crosses? Can somebody take a guess? A cross is pretty heavy, right? Right, and it's a hard burden. It's a hard thing to pick up. You remember last week when you had the big bag that Pastor Tim was having some of you pick up, right? So that's a pretty heavy burden that we have. What Jesus means is if we want to be called Christians, we have to live our lives the way Jesus lived his life. Sometimes that means going in a direction nobody else is going, like caring about somebody at school, you know, who might not be as cared about, who might be kind of difficult to get along with. Sometimes it means taking a road that is harder than some other ways that we might go, but it's the only way to follow Jesus. Do you want to follow the one right way to Jesus? Well, I hope so, and I wish you God's guidance and blessing in following it. So if we could all fold our hands for a prayer here. Dear God, help me to always follow Jesus in the right way, which is the only way to follow him. Yes, Lord, we really do love and want to follow you in your way for the rest of our lives. Amen. Okay, kids, if you want to go back to your seats here. Do you ever feel like your flesh, like your daily life is a baggy suit? But inside you know the special gifts that God has given you? Although on the outside you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. We're a lot like bloodhounds in that way. I was thinking about the bloodhound while reading these scripture passages and remembered that bloodhounds, they have a sort of baggy coat of skin, but they're really excellent at tracking with their noses. They're so excellent at this that evidence tracked by them has actually been accepted in court. That's pretty impressive for a dog. Christ has given us each gifts with the same effectiveness so that we can use those gifts to track down other souls that are lost and bring them to freedom through Christ. Paul is a good example of a bloodhound for Christ. He uses his authority in Christ and his relationship with Philemon to speak with him about his slave, Onesimus. It is a pretty bold move to convert someone's slave to Christianity just as you converted their master, and then to write them a letter about the brotherly Christian love they should now extend to their slave, who you just converted. But Paul knows it is an important message and that Philemon cannot live fully as a Christian if he does not get that message sent in a diplomatically crafted letter. Note here that Paul does not ask Philemon to give up his slave, nor in his boldness would he be so bold as to command a slave owner to not have that possession anymore. Indeed, he's already been a gracious patron of Paul's mission. We know that he had a house church. He's used the worldly resources he has for a church in his home. So when Onesimus, the slave, returns to his master, Paul knows that part of Roman society was that an ex-slave retained duties to his master. So he has those duties, even if Philemon let Onesimus go on missions with Paul. This is why Paul tells Philemon that his slave will now be useful to him instead of useless. In fact, the name Onesimus means useful, and now as a Christian slave to the patron of a house church, he would truly be useful as a Christian brother, not just as a possession. It takes remarkable gifts to help a slave owner see a slave's conversion to Christianity not as an affront, but as a benefit. Through this example, we can see that each and every person is meant to have a duty in the mission of Christ, no matter how low in position or behavior. Without the love of Christ in our lives, we would not be as whole or as purposeful as we have become. I have a story for y'all. I remember when I was a youth and I went to a retreat in the mountain area of South Dakota. We were all climbing the mountain, except for our youth leader who had to stay behind. So we split up into groups walking up the mountain, and somehow the rest of my group got separated from me. I believe I was taking a few pictures along the trail and got distracted. And that was a bad idea on a mountain trail, on a mountain that I had never walked on before, and I was lost and scared. I remembered the stories of caution that my mother shared with me before I went on the trip, letting me know that people had ended up on a mountain for days before search and rescue teams arrived, so it's pretty hard to find people on a mountain. Suddenly, thank God, a friendly couple appeared and saw that I was lost. I felt that God's grace had touched me through this couple, who came up to me and asked if I was lost and looking for a group. They helped me to find the right trail, and we joked about them being my angels that day, but they really seemed like that to me. They helped me to find my group, who had been looking for me and was concerned that I had gotten left behind. However, it was not my family or my original group who had found me. It was a couple that God might have tapped on the shoulder when they passed by me and told them that I was lost. That couple acted as my bloodhounds that day, leading me to the one right trail that I was looking for, so I could be back with my group and get off of the mountain, which is what I really wanted to do at that point. However, I enjoyed the time going down the mountain with the couple, as we talked about my church retreat and as I heard their stories and jokes. This couple acted in the same way that Paul had acted with Philemon through his letter and through his conversion of Onesimus to Christianity, and that we see in our Deuteronomy reading today, when Moses again spoke to people that had been disobedient toward God, he reminded them that there was only one way, God's way, and that following any other way would lead to their destruction, but that following God's way would lead to their joy, their fulfillment, and their long blessed lives upon the earth. So as I continue to meet more of this congregation and hear your stories, I'm learning that God's way is important to you. You work hard to listen and act as God has intended because you have filled your hearts with the good news of the Lord. So let this sermon today be a remembrance and a celebration of your investment in the Lord and the grace-filled lives that God has called you to lead because of your belief in Him. Continue to come to the table humbly, many with lives of hard work before you. Share your wisdom and use the authority that you have, not in order to elevate yourselves, but in order to lead others in love. So today I share this sermon as a reminder to be the bloodhounds for Christ that you are. Sniff out Christ wherever you go, and know when you are walking on holy ground, even when it may not seem obvious. Sniff out the people who are on the wrong trail, who are prisoners to sin, and lead them back to the right trail. Lead them to be bound in the shackles of Christ's gospel, to serve in being witnesses to His good news, instead of leading lives of emptiness. Do not turn your back on those that are following the wrong trail in your communities, but rather uphold yourselves as those bloodhounds for Christ, and lovingly confront them in their misdeeds, helping return them to the path where the Lord resides, and there is only one right path. Develop that keen sense every chance you get, remembering that Christ has called us to go and make disciples. I have a prayer here today. Dear Lord, Help us to remember that our authority comes from our identity as children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ to all other people. We have been called to follow the right path, the one way, and we know that there is only one. We ask you, God, to help us to be strong and keen as your bloodhounds and to rejoice in the one way that you have proclaimed for our eternal joy and salvation. Please bless us with hearts that will listen and follow your commands, and lead us to sniff out when our neighbors or we are on the wrong trail, so that we can return and rejoice with our Master in the freedom from imprisonment to the devil that no longer holds us captive through sin, death, and this broken world. Amen.